Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
It's time to name the neglect from typical food advice. Welcome to the Find Your Food Voice podcast, hosted by me, Julie Duffy Dillon. I'm a registered dietitian with 20 years of experience partnering with folks just like you on their food peace journey. What have we learned? Well, cookie cutter approaches exclude too many people, and you don't need to be fixed. It's not you. It's not me. It's all of us. Only together we can start a movement and fix diet culture. And we will. Let's begin with now. Hi there, welcome to episode 301 of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I'm your host, Julie Duffy Dillon, and this episode is a book review episode with me and Yelly Cruz. We are going to be discussing a book called Eat Up by Ruby Tando. And as I am thinking about this book, and I just finished the audio version, and it left me all warm and fuzzy. It's such a different type of food book, and I'm really excited for you to hear my discussion with Yelly in just a few seconds. But before I do that, I am wondering, which books would you like to hear Yelly and I discuss? We are putting together the book reviews for 2023, and we need your insight. Or if you are an author of a book that you want to hear discussed on the podcast, let us know. The only requirements are that it needs to somehow relate, of course, to food, bodies, things like that. And also needs to be something that is anti-diet and relates in that way. Because any book that we have on, we really want to make sure that it is something that helps your food peace journey, not further harms it. There's a ton of books out there that are all about, like, just damaging, harmful, rigid ways to talk about food. And again, this book, Eat Up, is something different. We're really excited to share what we found by reading it and what we experienced. But yes, we also want to hear what you recommend. And before we get to the interview, one more thing I want to mention. If you haven't listened to this podcast before, or you haven't listened a while, you may not have heard that I'm no longer on Instagram. Unfortunately, my Facebook and Instagram accounts got hacked, and the way they did it, unfortunately, has left me without those social media connections. And, you know, I like connecting with you. I also feel like I'm missing out on like total conversations. The FOMO is real hardcore. So what I'm doing is I just had to go over to TikTok then. And so if you are on TikTok, I would love it if you would give me a follow over there. My handle is the same. It's Food Voice RD. And I have about 500 followers right now. And my goal is to get to 1,000 so I can do lives again. I love doing lives. So if you could do that, I would thank you so much in advance, or I do thank you so much in advance to give me a follow over there. And again, it's Food Voice RD. All right. So we are going to get to the conversation with Yelly and me about Eat Up by Ruby Tando, but we're going to have a quick word from some sponsors. This episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast is brought to you by Your Second Opinion, a doctor visit toolkit that the PCOS Power team and I are so excited to finally let you know about. We have been working on this toolkit for a very long time, and we want to give you insight into what it includes. So imagine going to your PCOS doctor and having everything ready beforehand. Included some guided imagery to listen to as you're getting ready for your appointment to help your nervous system feel a little bit more calm. And then you walk into the appointment with a list of all the questions ready and a list of labs that you want drawn, and some helpful pointers to help you to advocate for yourself as you're navigating this fatphobic place that is PCOS healthcare. And then after the appointment, having a way to listen to some guided imagery to help your nervous system again get back online, and then a way to call a friend, someone who can help you sift through everything that came up. That's what's included in the doctor toolkit called Your Second Opinion. And again, the PCOS Power team and I are really excited to bring this to you. We've been wanting to put something together just to help you navigate the neglectful PCOS healthcare system. We're trying to change it, but until then, we want to give you all the help we can. So get to all the details at julieduffydillon.com/toolkit. Again, it's julieduffydillon.com/toolkit.
Did you know that every time you listen to an ad on this podcast, you help cover the cost of producing Find Your Food Voice? Thank you to our sponsor, Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. Because of them, my team and I can continue our independent podcast. Equilibria is a women-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. It also promotes optimal vaginal pH. These probiotics were chosen because they are studied for women's health. And I love that you can subscribe. So if you find that Equilibria's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense helps you can subscribe so you don't have to think twice about running out, and also save 25% off. I just started taking the Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense after a trip overseas that made my GI tract kind of funky. I am hoping that it helps make things just a little bit easier, easing back in. And also, as a woman in midlife, I'm always looking for ways to help with vaginal pH. If you are not in midlife yet, just be aware, it's a thing that is around the corner for you. So head to myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. All right, let's get back to the show.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, Yelly, welcome Hello. To season 8. and of course, I had to ask you what season this was just a second ago because I'm like, wait, what season are we on? I really thought it was like 5 or 6. Wow. It just, Wild. You lose track. Well, we're having fun, I guess the saying goes. But anyway, I'm so glad that we can be chatting about Eat Up by Ruby. Is it Tando? Is that how you say her last name?
Yes, I believe so. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and I am grateful that you introduced this book to me. I can recall a text saying, Julie, we need to have this book on the podcast. Do you remember how you found it?
I think I just saw it online and I saw that because I watched Great British Bake Off. So I already knew of her and I saw that she was a contestant on it and that she had written this book that's like just positive about food, like anti-diet culture-y. That really intrigued me. So I started reading it and I remember I was reading the introduction and it's so good and just so, so like radical in the sense that she right off the bat talks about like, you're allowed to eat whatever you want. I remember texting you at that moment and being like, Julie, you need to read this.
Well, yeah, I have two things that I'm thinking about with this. Cause I remember you said like, she's like being totally like drawing the line in the sand. Like I'm fat positive, I'm anti-diet and like was not like leaving it up to like wishy-washy, which a lot of books I'm reading right now, I think because intuitive eating and like diet being a bad word, now people are kind of like ride in the line in between. And this book was not like that, which is refreshing, especially if I'm going to recommend it to folks who are trying to recover from their eating disorder or diet culture. So there's that. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that Rachel, our PCOS Power Forward community manager, of course she was like, oh yeah, I know about this book. Like she's the one that actually likes cooking. And she like had been waiting for it to be available in the US where Rachel and I live. So, yeah, like she's like, oh yeah, I've known about this book for a long time. But something that you and I have in common that I don't know if folks listening know this, but we are both not really into cooking. And that's probably being a really like, that's a very light way to say it. Like I know I really don't enjoy cooking. Like it's the last on the list for me, which is really weird, I think, as a dietitian. I feel kind of like this like oddball. How do you feel about cooking? Like, how would you describe it?
I don't think I hate it as much as you do necessarily, I kind of just see it as something that I've got to do, to survive as a human being. I don't, find joy in it as much as our lovely Rachel does.
Yes, exactly.
I can cook things that maybe have like 5 ingredients in them and are maximum 10 steps. And that's pretty much where I draw the line with cooking.
Yeah. I know for some people, they're like, they find so much pleasure in the experience. And it doesn't bring me pleasure. And it kind of reminds me, this may sound ridiculous, but it reminds me of like my relationship to skiing. And I'm laughing because I can recall my partner and I, we used to go skiing once a year with a group of friends and out in the Colorado mountains. And every year we went every year for like 10 years. And each year I would buy one less day pass with skiing. And then the last year we were there, I just did like a half a day and I ran into a tree very, very slowly. Cause obviously I was in like, I was on like the bunny slopes and I was like, you know what? Why am I pretending? I don't like skiing. I enjoy people who like skiing, but I just don't like it. And I'm just going to be okay with that from now on. And so I'm like, I kind of feel the same way about cooking. It's just like, you know, a lot of people that I love and people that I hang out with, people in my profession, they really enjoy cooking and I just don't get enjoyment out of the process. And the thing that's like the ironic part is like this book, the author, like that's like, she's like, you know, if we had like the dichotomy of like loving cooking and hating cooking, she's like over on the other side of us. Like it brings her so much connection and joy. And so what was it like for you to read this? Like as someone who enjoys cooking, not you, but like Ruby enjoying it so much and describing it in so much detail, her experience, what was it like for you?
I thought it was really interesting because she writes about it in such sensory detail. Like she will talk about, I don't know, making like a tomato soup, and she will talk about the way it smells, the way the tomatoes feel in your hand, the way that the garlic like smell lingers on your fingers after you chop it up. And it like, she wrote about it in such a romantic, like floofy way that it made me want to love cooking. Like it made me want to.
Me too.
Yeah. Try to cook and like be in the kitchen. So yeah, and I will say, I do not like cooking, but I love eating. Like I've talked a lot on the podcast about how much I love like getting takeout and just like eating good food that other people have made that love cooking. And I think that as somebody who loves to eat and loves to kind of participate in that part of food, I really did enjoy reading the book.
Yes. There must have been something about the tomato soup recipe, because that's one of the ones I remember the most too. Like the way she described it, I remember thinking like, oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy right now. And like thinking about the soup, and it did, it made me want to cook. You know, I had that kind of desire. And it also, it, even though I still don't think I'm going to want to cook, but it reminds me of like when I go to someone's house, or if someone's over at my house and they're cooking in the kitchen, oftentimes someone will say, well, just come hang out with me while I'm cooking. Like the person who loves cooking. And I love being that person that like is just hanging out, talking with the person who's cooking and like
lots of wine.
Watching. Yeah. Having the wine and like, and smelling the things and just like watching the process. And not in a way of like they're cooking for me, but like, you know, someone's enjoying that process and they just don't want to be by themselves. And that's what this book felt like to me too. It was like, I was sitting with Ruby in the kitchen and like, she was going through all the process and the methods in her recipes. And, it painted a fabulous picture. And, I did the audio version. And when she would talk about these recipes, I would imagine in the book, they would be kind of easy to kind of skip over. I don't know if it was, but like in the audio, you know, it just keeps going. And so that, you know, she would say the measurements and everything and like how to do it. And it painted this fabulous picture, and I could like smell the stuff and feel like the temperature and the senses. Cause she would talk about things being sticky or drippy and, So did you have a similar experience like reading the actual book instead of just like listening to it like I was?
I did. I do think that the recipes would visually be easy to skip over, but I think that when you stop to actually read them, she adds more into it than just a typical recipe. Like one of the recipes is a recipe for a Cadbury cream egg, and it's literally just her like step-by-step going through the process of going to the store and buying your cream egg and unwrapping it and like smelling it and holding it up to your mouth. And it was so delightful. And I think that there's like little tidbits like that in all of the recipes.
I loved that part. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Do you have any foods like that you have like a,
almost a ritual with, I don't know if any come to mind to you.
Yeah, I really love Wendy's. The Wendy's mm-hmm. is my I had an exhausting day at work and my commute was so long, and literally all I'm craving right now is Wendy's French fries. And I will go to the drive-thru and I'll pick up my little Wendy's French fries and my little Baconator and come back home and unwrap the burger and take a fry and scoop up the little drip of cheese that didn't make it onto the burger. And that is my kind of religious food experience.
Yes. Oh, that sounds awesome. I French fries are one of my favorite foods. If I had to choose a top five, French fries are definitely in there. I don't know if I choose Wendy's. McDonald's may do it better for me, but I still can relate. one food that I have kind of a ritual with that brings me back to childhood is, and I don't know if, do you have Little Debbie's where you are?
Mm-mm, no.
Have you heard of that? It's just a snack cake that you can find in at a grocery store. And they have these ones and I can't remember the name. Maybe I'll think of the name of the type. But they were white icing with brown squiggles and they were shaped like an octagon. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of these cakes. Someone's going to be listening and be they're screaming the name right now because yeah. They're kind of iconic in the US. But these Little Debbie's, I would always eat the icing around the edges of the octagon and then peel off the top and eat the icing. And then and there was a little bit of cream between the cakes. And so I would open them up almost like an Oreo, opening them up and eat one side at a time and then save the creamy top one. For last. And they always had two in the little plastic thing. And so I would do that twice. I mean, it was after school ritual for sure. And when I think about it now, because I can't remember the last time I had one of those, it's been over a decade. I need to get some, I think that's what that means. It's bringing me some warm, fuzzy memories. And honestly, that is what this book was full of, is that warm fuzzy for me. And also times where it was looking at our outline, I know you have something marked here that this may be a good time to talk about, was Ruby talks about the morality and clean eating, the morality of food. I don't even know how to start to open up this one. Because thinking about Wendy's and then the Little Debbie's, we kind of are on the opposite side of clean eating when we talk about those foods. And, when people talk about clean eating and or even challenging kind of notions of what is appropriate to eat, I'm always a little doubtful that an author is going to describe it in a way that I think is going to be safe for someone who's trying to recover from an eating disorder. But the way Ruby talks about it, I was this is all right. This is something that I think could be helpful for someone that has this really complicated relationship with food. So I'm going to stop talking. Yeah. So I'm curious what your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah. I think that her perspective was really interesting because she's not a dietitian or registered in any sense of that in a health space. So she really approached it from more of an anthropological perspective of just I'm noting right now what society kind of tells you about these foods. And she, I guess maybe to start, she does have a chapter as well on junk food and about how junk food is positioned in society. And her kind of biggest takeaway, her biggest point from that is that junk food, again, health is not a morally good thing. It's not necessarily a thing that we have to strive for in the sense of healthy is always good and junk food is always bad. But she really drives home the point that junk food is the most democratic food out there right now. It's the most accessible food for folks across the board. And on the flip side of that, she also talks about clean food, not only in the context of clean dieting, because I think that that's, you know, obviously like clean quote unquote diets are harmful and not a positive thing. But she also talks about it in the sense of like, there's this kind of morality around the idea of going to the farmer's market and grabbing like the freshest food possible from the farmer's market and then going home and like only using like the freshest of tomatoes, for example, to make that tomato soup. And obviously like not that there's anything again morally wrong with that if you're somebody who likes going to the farmer's market every week and doing that and that's a routine that brings you joy. But she talks about how a lot of that is still steeped in this diet culture, this sense of you need to, you know, pay $10. I don't even know how much farmer's market tomatoes cost, but you need to pay $10 to buy the freshest of tomatoes rather than paying $3 for them at the grocery store. Yeah. What did you think?
Yeah. And you know, going through that part of the book where she talks about going to the farmer's market and picking the freshest tomatoes, it reminds me of when I was attending a conference and Dr. Stephen Brotman, I think is his name. He's the doctor who came up with the term orthorexia. And I think Ruby talks about orthorexia in the book too. And like, and of course her own struggles with eating disorders. But the reason I bring it up is because Dr. Brotman mentions like what his own experiences with orthorexia and he was talking about like carrots and harvesting carrots. And he got to the point where he had to eat it like right after it got pulled out of the ground. Like if it was harvested yesterday, he got to a point where that was too long. And wow. He was like, okay, that was the point where he was like, I think there's a problem here. Like something is going on with me where, you know, it just gave him a pause to be like, okay, this is obviously becoming something else. And unfortunately, that seems to be such a norm in circles with, around me and my, and, you know, just my part of the world. I have a feeling similar for you too, Yelly. Like people talk so much about like, I don't know, like getting things from the source or talking about sustainability, but also in a way that does have that moral kind of part to it. And the thing I really liked about how this author describes like this conversation is they are very frank about some of the sustainability issues. You know, like I remember she said something about like McDonald's, you know, it's problematic as fuck and how wonderful something was that tasting. I don't know. Like she talked about both of it. And I just think that's a really hard task to take. Like when I look back at some of the things I've written on my blog, like 5 years ago, I'm like, ooh, no, I don't agree with that. Like it's so hard to like capture all of this without being dogmatic. And somehow this author does it, which I appreciate because it's like a really, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, I also wanted to note that because I can picture the folks that are passionate about sustainability right now screaming at me and being like, but the farmer's market is better for the planet. And I agree. And Ruby also has a chapter where she just talks about the food chain. Is that what it's called? Just like the process from farm to table. And I think that what she always comes back to, which is really important for me, is you are allowed to do what you need to do to eat in the way that fills you up the way that you need. That was a kind of whirlwind way to say that. But I think that like when we were talking about a previous book, I think you had asked me at one point if I had ever come across a book where the author gave just explicit permission to do what you need when it comes to food. And I think that I, at that point, had said, no, I don't think so. And I think that this is that book for me.
Oh, that's so great. That's that's a big deal. Go Ruby.
Go Ruby.
Yes, that's amazing. I agree that there's like people always ask me like, what's a book that you recommend? And there's, there's some about some like cultural issues and political type things related to like bodies and body image that I feel really firm about. But when it comes down to like talking about food, there's very few that I'm like, yeah, I feel really confident about recommending this. The only thing that I had a issue with, I don't know if this like set off any kind of bells for you, but like there was a very small part that talks about eating to help manage disease. And as a dietitian, I mean, that's like our bread and butter, you know, medical nutrition therapy is like, that's the phrase that as dietitians we use, like when we go to school to learn like how to manage diabetes using food or how to manage cystic fibrosis using food. Like that's, you know, just what dietitians, what we do. And there are a few ways that she talked about it that I was like, huh, this may be a part that I felt a little squirrely and uncomfortable. And I think I just didn't agree with like the how. Like, I think there was a mentioning of like eliminating all sugar or something like that for diabetes. And I was like, no, that's actually not what you need to do. Like, but it's also like a really common assumption I think most people would like make when they think about like managing food intake and diabetes. And so that's the only part that I was like, nah, I would pluck that part out. But, you know, everything else was super great. But I'm looking at the notes you provided for us today. And there was a lot of metaphor in this book that I felt like she did a really good job about. And you are saying here that Ruby talks a lot about cooking as something that's also moralized and turned into something clean when it actually can be very messy and frustrating. And I want to talk a little bit about that part, you know, because I think the striving for eating clean can be a part of like, I want to be perfect or I want to appear to be perfect or I want to let people know or I want to feel like I'm not fucking things up. And the thing that I got from Ruby is like all of us, like when we eat an ice cream cone, it's dripping down our hands or we make a mess and with all these pots in the kitchen. And that's something that I know in the clinical experience with clients, we often will talk about, and that's a really important part for folks' recovery is like food is messy. And it doesn't fit in these like black and white boxes. Like I think we're told that they should.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I also wonder if that kind of plays into like old fashioned notions of kind of like a woman's place in the kitchen and like how, as the woman, as the wife, you have to like cook everything and make sure that your husband comes home to like a perfectly cooked steak and like a perfectly crafted plate of dinner. You know what I mean? As opposed to, just being allowed to burn the pie and still eat it, you know?
Yeah. Or just throw it out and get takeout. I remember watching some shows from like the 50s and 60s and they would show that type of housewife that you're describing and like making a total mess in the kitchen and having on like adult version of play clothes, but then and like an apron and all that stuff. But then like right before the husband comes home, like cleaning everything up and putting on like a nice dress and to make it look like it was like clean all day. And yeah, I didn't think about that when I was reading it, but how much our relationship with food is also fighting those stereotypes. So like when I was reading it, I wasn't thinking about that until you were mentioning it. So thanks.
Yeah.
Makes me, I don't know. It's just like a really, it just reminds me so much about how food is like a metaphor for so much. And if we can kind of like see our relationship with food and define it, it probably is going to also like define another part of our life, you know? And I remember Ruby, like one of the things that she talked about was her queerness and her relationship with food, how as she was like recovering from her eating disorder and a relationship with food and being more like playful and like seeking pleasure and satisfaction, how that also translated in relationships. And as a, like this really positive kind of like way of taking care of herself and meeting her, her wants and her needs. And it made me think about like, oh, I wonder where that's happening in my life or the listener's life or Yelly's life, like where your relationship with food kind of is mirroring something else. And one thing I thought about was sometimes food can become so like a checkbox of like, okay, I have to do this every, and it reminds me of like, you know, in the season of my life where my kids are like, especially after school activities, it's like, I just look at my Google calendar and it's all full and I'm like, okay, I got to be here, got to drive here. And then how am I going to be also here at the same time? Like food just kind of has that same kind of like experience sometimes too. And, that's annoying. Yeah, but it's also this is the season, you know? I'm totally putting you on the spot, but I don't know if you have something like that too. Like you're like, oh yeah, like food has that kind of mirror image to something else in my life. And again, I'm totally putting you on the spot, so feel free to pass.
No, you're good. I think that the first thing that comes to mind to me is that I often think of food in the context of my mom specifically. I've been in therapy lately and I've been unpacking a lot of just like my family and stuff like that. But one thing that has kind of risen to the surface is that as something that I've always known, which is that my mom has always used food as a way to express her love. And I think that I do feel that in the ways that I talk about food, even just as like food as comfort. I've like said that a lot, or like I feel very loved when my wife Haley makes me dinner, in the same way that like growing up, I knew that like, even if my mom was mad at me, she was still going to make me dinner. And that was a sign that like, she still loves me, even though she was mad at me.
Yes. Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. It's like a reliable constant. You know, and that's nice. Yeah, I think there's so much that we can kind of bridge and have insight into our own, like just ways that we're moving through this world by how we're relating to food. And
yeah,
Ruby really hit that home.
I also loved, this is totally random, but she refers to human bodies as like gaseous forms in a lot of places. And that is just so delightful to me whenever she said that.
I mean, if someone's going to bring up farts or like gas, you know, I think that is, this book was really fun in that way. You know, it was very like tactile, like used all the senses and fun. Although it does go into some like pretty not fun topics, but still it was like for the most part really, really fun.
Yeah. It's a good balance.
It's a good balance. Yeah. And I know we're starting to run out of time, but there is one topic that we haven't, like as I'm going through the outline, that we haven't gone through that you reminded me of. And I had to be like, wait, when did she talk about this? But you mentioned like prison food. And you know, Ruby talks about like, I think it was in the section where she's talking about like the ethical side of food and like food ethics and bringing up prison food. What were the things that you remember she talked about? Because I know you had to like totally remind me.
Yes, I am literally just going to read a quote because I cannot say it better. She says it, but she's talking about kind of studies about prison food and the like the stereotype that's like true, but that like kind of goes around that like prison food is just awful. And she says that because the food we eat so powerfully embodies who we are and where we stand in society, prison food not only deprives, but it also defines. You get slop for nobodies, a dog's dinner for animals, muck for people whose humanity was given up long ago.
That quote is so powerful.
Yes. Yeah. And she basically just talks about like that, about how the food that prisoners are fed is very much a reflection of the way that they're positioned in society. Obviously, is that's not good. That's awful. But then she also talks about how in some in some prisons, residents are actually allowed to cook their own meals and grow their own produce. And that actually like nourishes a sense of community and confidence and belonging just through food, which is magical, I think.
Yeah, that is magical. And I would imagine for a listener, they may not relate to being in like physical like prison, but like the way that they prepare their food and nourish themselves may feel just as like thoughtless, you know, like just I'm going to prepare whatever. Like I think about people like making some drinks with some powders and detox teas and crap like that. That tastes awful, but just thinking that that's just what they have to have, or food that is really without, like sauces, like without cheese, without salt, things that make it have taste, you know, and using that kind of quote to be even connecting for yourself, for you, the listener, like if you are feeding yourself in that way, because the food does become us and this author does talk about that a lot. Like literally the food becomes us. Like it goes in our mouth and becomes part of our body. How that it makes sense that someone would feel so negative about themselves. And, you know, one thing I always tell folks is like, we all need at least, and I'm saying this to myself right now after I made that connection, but we all need at least one meal a day that's like hot. Or, you know, warm, you know, where we can sit down and eat it. And it almost as like metaphor of like, you deserve to be taken care of and providing something that's nourishing and special and special enough to be at least warm, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone like, because it's not just the food, it's actually like the pleasure that comes from it and the acknowledgement of like, I'm worth it to have something that is going to nourish me instead of just checking that box off. Again, I'm giving myself my own advice. I wonder if there's anything else that we haven't talked about. Did we cover everything?
Definitely not, but I don't think we can. There's so much, so much in the book. I think we've covered everything that I wanted to go over.
Yes.
Was there anything that you missed on your end?
No, but it did make me want to play with my food more. I don't know if you had that experience. And maybe that's what I'll do. Instead of like maybe like cooking, I'll just make some really gooey, messy s'mores because it's fall, you know, it's cooler. We do outside fires now. So like maybe I'll get some s'more stuff and do that this weekend. That sounds like meet that kind of craving from reading this book. I'm grateful that you texted me this book and, you know, found it. And it's Eat Up by Ruby Tando. So enjoy. Yes. Enjoy your food today. And I hope if you're wanting a book that's like helps promote just like a different way of thinking and experiencing food, this is a great one just to keep at your like bedside table to like read through whenever you just need to have like something positive in your brain about food. Hey, thanks, Sally, for the conversation and again, introducing me to this book.
Anytime. Thanks, Julie.
So there you have it. The book is Eat Up by Ruby Tando. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast, we always appreciate subscribing or sharing an episode. Doing that helps other people find us. You can also leave us a rating or review. We really appreciate it in advance. And don't forget the new product, Your Second Opinion. The digital medical care toolkit that we're working on is coming out very soon. It's actually going to come out on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. And you can check out all the details at julieduffydillon.com/toolkit. All right. So I will see you next week for another episode of Find Your Food Voice. Take care.
Thank you for listening. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, and this is the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Ready to join the anti-diet movement and take the Food Voice Pledge? Go to julieduffydillon.com and sign your name to the growing list of people saying no to diets and yes to their own food voice. The Find Your Food Voice podcast is produced by me, Julie Duffy Dillon, and my team of kick-ass folks. I couldn't make the show without Yelly Cruz, assistant producer and resident book fiend, and Colleen Bremner, customer service coordinator and professional hype master. Audio editing is from Toby Lyles at 24 Sound. Music is Fly Free by Hartley. Are you looking for episode transcripts? Get them at julieduffydillon.com, where you can also submit letters for the podcast, give us feedback, and sign the Food Voice Pledge. We need your voice to end diet culture. We literally can't do this without you. Subscribe to the Find Your Food Voice podcast to get weekly inspiration and education on how we can defeat diet culture and reclaim our own food voice. I look forward to seeing you here next week for another episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.